You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Heppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Heppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.
Yes, happy holiday weekend, Mark.
Yeah, I don't even want to be here. No, I do want to be here, but I'm not here.
You aren't, but I see you.
Well, then it must be not a holiday weekend, because if it was a holiday weekend, I'd be on holiday.
That's a figment of my imagination, maybe?
Yeah, that's it. You're a legend in your own mind. Something like that.
I guess so.
No, it's Sunday night, and that means it's the night before Memorial Day. And therefore, it's a holiday weekend, so we are pre-recording this show.
Yes.
And so the weekend hasn't hit yet.
No, it has not.
No, but we are anxious to keep the trend going, and we don't want to take a weekend off, although we are going to do kind of an abbreviated...
It's a holiday edition.
It's the holiday edition. That's an excellent way to put it. That we are going to spend the next hour and a half with our friends here, our pilot friends, our aviation friends. And we think we got a pretty good show lined up.
Oh, without a doubt. You know, I got to say, it kind of feels like a weekend a little bit.
It does, because I'm here at the airport, and I hope my boss isn't listening, because I should be at work.
Yeah. Do I have a little, do I have a whisper on my sound effects here?
No, but I have something that's probably just as appropriate.
There goes your non-aviation career.
No,
just kidding.
He's on vacation today. So.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah, like we said, happy Memorial Day weekend. It is Simple Flight Aviation Radio coming to you pre-recorded.
But from our beautiful studios at Papa Whiskey Kilo, Chicago Executive, better known as Palwaukee Airport.
I love this place.
I do too, and it's compliments of Signature Flight Support, who are gracious hosts that provide this for us on a full-time basis so that we always have a place to call home, a place for our guests to show up, and more people show up when we are live on Sunday nights.
Right. No, it's starting to become pretty cool, and I got to tell you, I love it right now. Signature's buzzing right now.
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, we just worried more about the noise of all these engines starting up.
Hey, that's good jet wine problems to have.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was beautiful. Did you see? I mean, the guy was right next to the window. I was surprised that the window didn't break on that
last. Yeah, a Learjet that just took off. There's a Cessna Sovereign kind of sitting at the front door. This is like one of these like picture perfect moments, you know, where you see like the classic, you know, an executive controller where the door is rolled out. Or, I mean, the door is open. It's a beautiful day with like puffy clouds and the red carpet's out.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Well, and aviation does that for you, you know, and that's probably a good theme for tonight too, in terms of all the good things that aviation does, the feel good moments associated with aviation.
Yes. Absolutely. So do you have any holiday weekend plans at all?
I do. I'm hoping, weather permitting, that an airplane permitting, to visit my youngest son at Kansas City Downtown Airport.
Yes, great airport. MKC.
Yeah, my favorite, and I've only been there, flown in once. I've stopped by when I've driven in or taken the airlines. Just because our guest actually hosted me previously. I kind of make my home there to do my work away from home.
Yeah.
But I love that visual into runway 1.
Right.
Where you circle over the city. It's a totally visual, and you're between these huge towers. One is, I think, a Channel 4 tower. And I thought it was close. And it was interesting. I may have mentioned this before. I had a young passenger with me that was actually going to, with my son and a friend of his. And they both commented, aren't we kind of close to those towers? And I'm thinking, boy, if the passengers feel that, then I know I'm pretty close because, you know, usually I don't mind that many things, but it was right there
in
Final Approach. And I certainly wouldn't want to do that IFR.
Right, right.
Which is probably why they don't have an IFR approach to that.
Probably.
Right?
You put two and two together right there.
Yeah, I'm pretty smart in that way.
You know what? That's a really neat airport. There's a lot of history at that airport. You know, it was TWA's original hub. You know, they have the signature flight support terminal down there at the MKC airport. That used to be the old headquarter, you know, or like hangar for TWA. Right down the street was a terminal building.
And there's a museum there.
There's two museums.
Two museums?
Yeah.
Count them, two.
There's the one, two.
There you go. Yeah. He's getting better, folks.
No, so they have a they have the airline museum there, which you're probably familiar with. And that is for that L-1011. You know, you've never seen that park there? The L-1011 is there. And that's the airline museum. But, you know, every time I've gone over there in the last, like, 6 months, they say they're closed for renovations, which... I don't know whether or not to take that as a good sign or a bad sign.
Yeah. Well, I'll check it out this weekend if we get there.
Right. And then the other museum they have there is actually in the Signature Flight Support Building, and it's the TWA Museum.
I must have missed that because I've been in Signature Flights there. And I visited is it Hangar 10 or it's the FBO is called?
Hangar 10, yeah.
Hangar 10. And that's very executive feel to it. I thought that was pretty sharp. I enjoyed
Really?
Making
I've
myself at home there. I drove over there just to see it. It's pretty cool.
Really?
Yeah, really nice job.
Oh, nice. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I always love it going in there at night on the visual of the runway one because they had the Marriott Hotel has all these LEDs on the side of it. So the whole building like flashes and changes colors. It kind of feels like you're in Las Vegas.
I actually may be going in the evening, so I'll watch for that.
Yeah, definitely.
Matter of fact, what was so interesting when I went into this runway one, the winds were favoring like 19.
Wow.
And it would have been straight in for me. And yet they had me do the circling approach to one.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, this just feels less safe. I mean, it was safe, but less safe.
Yeah.
Than just coming straight in. Why? And the winds must have just been calm.
Yeah.
So I could have taken any one of them, and I was so shocked. But I'm glad they did, just because it was a very cool approach.
Right. Definitely. You know, we had a I had an opportunity to do a flight today to another historic airport, and you know, if I were to say the mecca of aviation airports. It's kind of like the homecoming. Where would you say that would be? What airport pops in your mind?
The mecca of aviation airports. GA or?
GA.
GA? Well, of course I want to say Iowa City, but that's
I guess if you're a U of I fan.
Yeah, you know, because I know you didn't go out, like, it certainly I would put Teterboro in that class and all that, but knowing that you were in the Chicagoland area, I've got to go with Oshkosh.
Yes, you nailed it.
Bop.
But where's the sound effect guy?
I'm looking for the,
where's the sound?
Where's the...
You need to fire the sound effect guy. Yeah. Now you're just, now this is like Jim Cramer, wow, I like that one. Now it's like Jim Cramer on Mad Money.
Wow, what was that?
Yeah. Whoa, there he is again. So, but I had a nice flight up there this morning. And
speaking of museums, I like that museum.
To be honest, I've never been there.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna do that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Are you an EAA member?
No.
Well, I'm an EAA member, so I'll get in free, and you can pay.
Perfect.
Yay.
Yeah. So they had a, but you know what was interesting is that I don't know. There was that. You could tell that they're starting to get ready for Oshkosh up there. And I was kind of sad, you know, we were flying over Lake Winnebago and we were talking with the tower and everything. And,
right.
You know, I've heard this guy in the tower before and I'm like, man, I really wish, how could anybody ever want to close this tower? You know, now they're not, you know, they've delayed the decision many months down the road.
Yep. Thankfully.
But yeah, just like there's something like, Osh, you know, there's a certain mystique flying in there. Even when it's not Oshkosh time, it's still Oshkosh.
Yeah, I agree. But I know as I wrote a blog, a couple years ago when I flew in, I guess it was only a couple years ago. It was so cool.
Yeah, very cool. That's a, it is cool. We flew in there for, that was our first on the road show.
Right.
Flying
right.
there, which was cool.
But I wasn't with the company back then.
Yeah, you were.
What? Your first radio show?
No, that was, we flew in there for a radio show with Adam Smith.
Oh, I thought you meant your first, because you were in Oshkosh for the very first Simple Flight radio show.
Oh, right. That was an awkward moment.
Yeah. Who's that guy in his room all by himself talking into a microphone? Yeah. I've never listened. We don't have an archive.
No, that one is in thin air, vaporized.
Yeah.
You know, the technology has improved leaps and bounds.
As have the hosts.
Yeah. Exactly. But, you know, I don't know. It was a neat flight. And, you know, you land at Oshkosh and you see these polka dots. And I only thought that they painted the polka dots on the runways for the event, and then they scraped them off. But the polka dots were still there.
Yeah, they get a little faded, but they're...
Yeah, they're a little faded.
So let me ask you this. When they say land on the red dot,
yeah.
or the green dot, or the pink dot, whatever, how many, I won't make this personal, how many pilots do you think actually hit that dot?
Ooh, I've actually thought about that. And, you know, I think the FAA goes down to the minimum, like VFR spacing or something like that, 1,500 feet in trail or something. And, you know, for all these waivers at Oshkosh for air traffic control rules. And, like, that's pretty tight. You know, just imagine trying to land on a 1,500-foot strip, you know, for pilots of all, you know, skill levels. And, geez, I don't know. I can't put a number on it.
Yeah, well, not a number, but a percentage. And I think a huge percentage miss the dot, but I think as long as you don't land prior to the dot, you're okay. So it's kind
Is
of
it
a
prior to the dot or onto the next dot. What if you roll to the next dot?
Well, rolling to is fine, but they want you to touch down some. And this is my assumption. I don't know this to be a fact. That they want you to touch down near the dot, but after, not before, to keep spacing from the guy behind you.
So you could be landing over top of somebody.
Well, no, because you're not going to be 1,500 feet down. That you want to be close there. Is this again? I should check this out maybe with Jim, but I want because to me and what I did on mine, I was landing on the taxiway 36 right. Is that?
Yes.
Yes, and I greased it, and then they just keep your speed up, keep taxiing fast, because this guy and I rolled right to the end. At Orion, I think there, and that's where
right.
I parked. But there was no color dot. What I pictured that I was going to do when I left in the morning, I thought I'd just kind of hover, and not hover, just you know, like in a flare, a roundout. And then as soon as you hit the dot, you drop the power. I was gonna nail it, dead center on the dot, and I didn't have to. But I figured what they really want is you to, you know, you have that aiming point. And then you round out, and then you have to float a little bit, hopefully
yeah,
not
right.
1,500
feet. No, I think that's pretty cool. Yeah, you know, you just got me a good guest idea for a future guest.
Okay.
That can answer all these questions.
A tower controller?
Yeah, well, I actually read a fantastic article on, I think her name was Wanda. She is the tower the air traffic control manager of the Oshkosh.
Yeah, I read about her as well.
The whole event.
Yeah.
And, I think in her normal, when she's not doing Oshkosh, she's the manager at, Milwaukee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. I did read about her and I forgot about that part. I did a tour of Milwaukee. That was fun.
Oh, really? You went in the tower and everything?
Yes, it was a tour that was meant to be a tour. And then I asked them, and this isn't fair. I just think they gave the political answer on, yeah, we'll do GA aircraft, but I could tell that was not their favorite thing.
What do you mean? They didn't like working GA?
No, I'm not saying that. They gave a very political answer that they're there to serve all. But I could just tell that they prefer, and they, those that I was talking to, prefer either 121 or not like training operations. You know, it could be GA guys that are coming in with, I'm here, I'm stopping, I'm getting out.
At
Mitchell.
Mitchell?
Yeah. I'm going to stop now because controllers are my friends and I don't want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to cast any doubt in that because
I've always been welcome there as an airliner and as GA.
The treatment, this was just upon direct questioning.
Oh.
It was, seemed to be, well, truth be told, if we had our druthers type of thing. But anyway, let's move on.
Yeah. Well, we need to have some, type of, private investigative. Mark Kepner, private eye, you know, investigative reporting.
What is the truth behind what that man is saying?
Yeah. Exactly. But you know what? I've got high hopes for this week is in terms of,
I've got,
you know, like it's a holiday weekend, even though it's Tuesday now, it feels like a weekend and
yep.
I am in a stellar mood for the most awesome joke of all time.
Oh no. We just may have to wait till Sunday for that. You caught me off guard doing this show,
what?
But I do have a joke and it's, but it's not aviation. Is that okay?
Yeah.
And I wouldn't call it awesome. I'd call it cute. One that'll make you smile.
Wow.
Yeah. So you like that build up?
I didn't know we're this is like Little Bo Peep or something.
Yeah.
Like the Little Bo Peep.
Well, you know,
jokes.
We're taking a vacation on Sunday, right?
Right.
So I thought the Joe could take a vacation. And every year Joe takes a summer vacation.
Really?
Right. Yeah. He goes, takes a whole week and goes to relax at his friend's cabin in the Maine woods.
Uh huh.
Yeah. You know, it's a nice little quiet weekend. So one night after he's just arrived, he's sitting in the cabin when he hears a knock on the door. He opens the door and doesn't see anything. And he's about to turn around, but he happens to look down. And in the wooden porch, he sees a small snail.
A small snail?
A small snail, yeah, right at the by his feet. So he's kind of annoyed. He picked the snail up and throws it as far as he can.
What? Really?
Yeah.
That's not nice to the snail.
And then he enjoyed the rest of his week, and then he... You know, he's going there every year. Comes back 3 years later. He's back in the cabin for another summer retreat.
Uh-huh.
There's a knock on the door. He opens it up and sees nothing. Then he remembers 3 years ago, the last time that happened. He should look down. So he looked down, and there's the same snail.
Really?
Yeah, and the snail said, "What the hell was that all about?"
Wow, I don't know. I like that one.
I think you do it.
I love it. Wow, you know, that's
they aren't very fast.
Yeah,
but they are persistent.
Nobody likes a quitter.
That's right.
Yeah. Wow, that's nice. I like that.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, it's good for you.
Yeah, I'm off the hook. Now I got 10 or 12 days to prepare for the next joke. So anyway, what did you do? What do you got planned for this upcoming holiday weekend?
I am going to another fabulous aviation town, St. Louis, Missouri.
Are you really?
Yeah.
For fun or for work?
Yeah, just for fun.
Cool. For a quick flight and back or actual?
No, just staying overnight for the holiday weekend.
Do you know somebody there?
No.
Nice. I like those kind of trips.
Yeah, right. We're just, it's kind of a weird.
Notice he said we're, as in we are.
We are going, yeah. Yeah. And, my girlfriend and I, and, I don't know. When's the last time you've really explored St. Louis?
I used to live there, but it's been a while.
Yeah.
What are you going to explore? Downtown? The Arch?
Downtown, the Arch. There's the Cahokia Mounds near the College Park,
yep.
Downtown.
There's the Cahokia Mounds. There's
some caves.
Anheuser-Busch tour.
True.
Yes. Grant's Farm, which you also get free Budweiser while you're there.
Wow.
You also have some good Italian food on the hill, as they call it.
Uh-huh.
And Spirit of St. Louis out in the western burbs near Chesterfield.
Crevecoeur.
Why do you think it's called Crevecoeur?
I don't know.
Do you know what Crevecoeur means?
No, I don't.
Do you know what? It's French, right? Saint Louis. You know, By the way, I lived there, and it drove me nuts. I tried to say, "Oh, I'm looking for Caron de Lay," and they go, "Caron de Lait." They pronounce the T's.
Oh, geez. Saint
Louis, right? And Amboy instead of Ambois. So think French. Would you know what Creve means? C-R-E-V-E, and it's probably not pronounced Creve, but that's how they pronounce it there.
No, I don't.
It's broken.
Broken.
Yeah. And Coeur?
Shirt? Heart.
Heart. Broken heart. And so there's a lake there that looks like a broken heart when you fly over it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to take a look at that.
I'm happy. Oh, someone's tweeting us.
Wow.
Oh, wait, they don't know we're on. Yeah. Never mind.
We got a, that's a pretty cool, that's pretty cool. You know, there was somebody actually was wondering the other day of like, you know, the airport codes, how they come up with stuff and the airport names and all that. It's, I don't know, it's cool that, you know, the Crevecoeur, there's a broken heart lake.
Exactly.
In the neighborhood. But I'm pretty excited to go down there. You know, there's Boeing. That's actually probably one of my most favorite flights, Chicago to St. Louis for dinner. Just, you go into St. Louis Lambert, there's a mystique on flying in there on a Saturday evening, summer, getting a crew car, going downtown. And grabbing a bite to eat. And I just love taking off at St. Louis at night, the St. Louis Lambert.
Yeah.
If you take, you know, it's one of those airports that, you know, that like you think of all airports being flat. You know, St. Louis certainly.
It's got a little bit of a hill to it.
Yeah,
it?
It's got all of its runways are sloped, you know. So it's cool, like at night when you take off, there's just like this like curved, elevated runway that you got to like climb up and you know, you take off and you see the city lights and I don't know, the controller's radios have this weird like little buzz in the background that's like, you're just like, yeah, I'm at a cool big airport.
Oh, really? I never even thought about that. I back in the day when I first moved there and I was, that was in the 70s, you know, this was obviously well before September 11th and was able to, spend a lot of time up in the tower when I was bored. Just hang out.
Really?
Yeah, those guys
at Lambert.
At Lambert. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, I was like, and then I go to Midcoast Aviation, which I don't even know if that's still. That's might be the FBO there still, but yeah, it was a lot of fun. I have some very fond memories of that.
Yeah.
And then across, what road was that? I think it was Lindbergh. There was a parking lot with audio, so you could listen to the tower and sit in your car and watch airplanes land on 30. No, 1-2.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm going to have to go back and check that out because, I was fresh out of college and my first town away from college and away from home, and I spent a lot of time at Lambert.
Cool. Yeah. I like it. I didn't know it had such a big connection to you.
Yeah, now you do.
Yeah. I really feel like we're at a restaurant, like a happening restaurant here. It's signature right now. There's like, it's like the first round of tables have cleared out. Now the second round of tables have been seated. Meaning the first round of jets have taxied away, and now they're replaced with a whole new, you know, what do we have? We've got the Sovereign, we got the Citation,
CJ2.
We got an Eclipse, CJ2 just rolled up. It's awesome.
Now that the little, it doesn't have clamshell, but that thing on the back of the CJ, the engine, is that a reverser?
Yeah, it's not like a full-blown one. It's like a deflector.
Yeah, because when it came up as he was taxiing in, it was deployed. I mean, it was perpendicular to the output there, the thrust output.
Yeah.
And then when they parked him, all of a sudden it opened up, and I thought, that's interesting. How was he producing forward thrust when that thing was closed off?
Yeah, I don't think that those are. I've run into Citation CJ pilots, and you know they say, oh hey, do you have reverse on that thing? They're like, no. But so I think it's like a half reverse type of system. So it's not really full blown, but it's
kind of like Fairchild 227.
What about that?
They didn't go reverse.
They didn't.
No, they went. The blades went flat.
Oh yeah,
and they make that noise, but it was brakes. At least that's what I was told by a guy that flew them.
Gotcha. Great.
So what's going on then today, young man?
Well, we have a really great show, and I'm excited about our guest tonight. Are you?
Well, of course. I have actually a connection with this organization. You may have known, I think I even talked to you recently about that mission I took where I helped that woman who had cancer and traveling between her home and where she gets the treatment.
Yeah. I remember you talking and all that, and you know, that flight was debatable whether you were going to go or not, and all that, and you know, you ended up completing it, and it was a great story.
Yeah, well, you know what's funny about that is the patient, and she had quite an advanced form of cancer, was so positive, and she was saying, "Let's go for the flight." And I was telling her it's going to be pretty bumpy, 60 knot winds, and turned out to be smooth. But she said, "Let's go for it."
All right,
so, I loved her attitude. But I did that, and I've had not enough, but I have done other flights with Angel Flight Central.
Yeah,
and it's interesting to me. You know, I talk to people about the organization and think of Angel Flight as a very kind of a generic term, kind of like Kleenex, right?
It's
a tissue. But there actually is an Angel Flight Central, and our guest tonight is Don Semple, who's the executive director of Angel Flight Semple, of Angel Flight Central, and they are based at the Kansas City Downtown Airport. I know a favorite airport of yours.
All right, yeah, definitely a favorite airport. So I'm jealous that he's there right now.
Now you have a place and a reason to go visit there.
Exactly.
So let's welcome aboard Don. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, only if Al buys lunch.
Obviously, you don't know him like I do.
Hey, guys, it's really a pleasure to be on with you.
Yeah, well, thank you for coming. I think Mark is, as Mark alluded to, you know, this is a great organization and all that. And you want to give us a little history? I know that there's, we were talking before the show that, you know, there's, you know, Angel Flight Central, that's the official name, but a lot of people think of Angel Flight as one company. Do you want to flesh that out a little?
Sure, I will. Angel Flight Central is the name of our organization, and there's other Angel Flight organizations throughout the country. And as a matter of fact, there's an Angel Flight Northeast, an Angel Flight Mid-Atlantic, an Angel Flight Southeast. Of course, there's Angel Flight Central, Angel Flight South Central, and Angel Flight West. And we all belong to an organization called Air Charity Network. There is no national Angel Flight organization, but we work collaboratively with each other and try to get the patients and passengers from one region to another in a collaborative effort. Really, while we use the term Angel Flight, we just sort of refer that to more of the adjective, you know, Joe's going to take an Angel Flight and take those passengers. So it's more of the descriptor than the name of the organizations.
That's, I think, what I was referencing, because I have been involved with other organizations that do a similar thing. But again, no matter who you talk to, we always refer to it as an Angel Flight. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for your organization, but it's just kind of the industry nomenclature.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, I think the big key is, as long as we get people to where they need to go for the treatment or for a worthwhile humanitarian reason, that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit about how the process works. You know, Al is not an Angel Flight pilot, but I'm going to make sure he is one shortly. So as from a pilot perspective, then maybe we can talk from a patient perspective after that. How does a pilot get involved to fly these missions, and what's the implications of doing so?
Well, you know, we do have pilot requirements that need to be met. And, you know, one of the big keys is that Angel Flight Central and all the other organizations stress safety. You know, the pilot provides transportation, of course, at no cost to Angel Flight Central passengers. They have to hold a current FAA pilot certificate and current medical, hold an instrument rating, and maintain IFR currency that's desired but not required. Pilot must have about, 250 hours pilot in command and 500 total time. Have logged about 25 hours in any make or model for a single engine and 50 hours in a multi or turbojet. Must have access to an airworthy craft, either own it or have ability to rent it, as defined by the Federal Aviation Regulations. Operate, you know, each flight in accordance with the FARs and our own handbook that we have, just so passengers are comfortable and, you know, are well taken care of. Provide maintaining at least $1 million in total insurance and $100,000 per seat liability. Provide proof of insurance and certification by the FAA by submitting copies to us here at Angel Flight Central. And, you know, we'll supply you with an Angel Flight Central photo ID badge that shows that you belong to the organization, and complete a AOPA Air Safety Institute course for volunteer pilots. And we really do our best to make sure that the pilots are well-armed with everything that they need to really make sure that the passengers have the most pleasant experience possible. And those are just some of the requirements. There's a full list on our website at angelflightcentral.org if someone's interested.
There you go. As a matter of fact, you said something about 50 hours multi-engine. That's only if they're flying a multi-engine.
That's correct.
Aircraft, yeah. Right. Yeah,
well, the single engine is 25.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, I have to tell you, the process works so well. I know that when I've raised my hand using the application that Angel Flight Central provides to, in a sense, volunteer for one of the multi-legs that are usually involved, I get the information. I get all of the other pilots that are going to be my relay team, if you will. I get the waiver form. It's, you know, sign here, have the patient sign here, fax this before you depart. And it just works really, really well. And it's nothing more than a regular flight for me with one piece of paper that I have to have the passenger sign.
You know, we do our best also to make it quite easy for a pilot to stay engaged with the organization, because really all you have to do is take one flight every 2 years, 24-month period, to remain on the active volunteer pilot roster. We know a lot of the volunteer men and women that fly are busy, and you know, things come up, but all you have to do is take one flight to remain on the active roster. Our flight coordinator, Michelle Kane, does an incredible job. She makes sure that, you know, the communication between the pilot and the passenger takes place. And she has just done a marvelous job since coming on board about 3 months ago. And she's continuing to enhance that position in the flight coordination department to help us even get better and smoother in our you know, correspondence.
You know, one of the things when I start off, and it's interesting how I'm not normally taking the me view when we do these interviews, but because I've had the experience, it's kind of fun. I was at first worried, well, I can't take just an Archer. You know, they expect something, I don't know if more luxurious or something faster, but certainly an Archer, a 172, or a turbojet. I mean, they're all accepted and they're all used, and the patients are just as pleased and appreciative regardless of the aircraft type.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I think the big thing is you got to keep in mind that these patients, a lot of them are down and out, and they need to get to a place for, in many cases, life-saving medical treatment. And they are so grateful for the pilots giving their time, their treasure, and their talent to help transport them to that particular facility. It's absolutely incredible. We get many nice thank you cards that we pass on to pilots because this is the address that they have, and we forward all the thank yous and letters and notes to the pilots that we get from the patients that they have flown. We've got calls thanking them. And the thing about Angel Flight Central, as long as you have a need, we will continue to fly that individual as long as they need to go for treatment. We've had a couple of instances here recently where we had a gentleman who had to go down to MD Anderson in Houston. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And if you're familiar with that disease, in many cases, it's sort of a death sentence.
Right.
And they had a clinical trial down at MD Anderson that was working extremely well for this gentleman. And we were coordinating his flights to MD Anderson every week or every other week, depending on his need, for about a year and a half. The gentleman is still going strong. He looks great. And that is a very rewarding experience for Angel Flight Central, the board of directors, the trustees, the staff, to see a gentleman really have an opportunity to continue his life by getting the treatment that he needs. And if you can imagine what it would be costing that gentleman and a caregiver to go to MD Anderson once every 2 or 3 weeks for a year and a half if they had to pay for their airline ticket, wow.
Yeah, exactly.
That is, I mean, there's something like really great about this. And I think it really shows the value of aviation and, you know, a serious need, as you said. You know, it provides a, and what Mark and I are very big on this show about promoting general aviation. And I think that, you know, this is a big value swing for aviation. It, you know, it's really touching lives, it's saving lives, and it's affecting people in such a positive way that it's a, that, you know, very few other organizations can really do.
You look at it from the standpoint of the men and women that fly and do this for whatever agency. They truly are heroes because they are really helping individuals extend their life, get the treatment. And we are also coming up on a real hectic time here. Not only do we transport for medical purposes, Angel Flight Central is one of the fewer organizations that do humanitarian flights. And we are gearing up now for camp season. And what this is we have camps throughout the Midwest that specialize in fun and activities for kids with special needs. And these children have either HIV/AIDS, they're cancer victims, they have heart disease, or they're severely burned. And all the activities at these camps are geared for those particular issues. And the medical treatment is also there. It gears toward those issues. Now, the camps are free, but the families can't afford to get the children there. So our pilots will pick them up, drop them off at the camp, and then either they will go back or someone else will go back and pick them up and bring them home. Last year, we flew about 325 camp flights during the course of June through August, and we probably will be doing the same amount this year to help children, you know, have an enjoyable time at camp.
Wow. Yeah, and I see those. I haven't done any camp flights. Those are generally to northern Minnesota, I think.
Yes, we have Minnesota, and we also have a camp in Colorado. And the funny thing, I've been on a few of these camps flights myself, Alan, Mark, and it's a lot quieter on the way back. Going up, the kids are all excited, and you know, they're ready to bust loose. And then on the way back after a week at camp, the plane takes off, and before you know it, you look in the back, and they are sound asleep.
I can only imagine. That's cool. Yeah, I definitely want to do one of those this year. But it's not just camps. Don't you also get involved with, like, for instance, we're all hearing about the tornadoes that hit Oklahoma City in the Midwest. For those kind of missions, is an Angel Flight involved, or is it mainly medical?
No, we are. You know, we do emergency relief. As a matter of fact, we were heavily involved with Hurricane Katrina. We flew in emergency personnel. We flew in supplies. We flew out of New Orleans, some people out of hospitals that needed to get out and get treatment, get them out of harm's way. And we've done that with the flooding in Iowa. We had the clearance to go into New York after 9/11. And, you know, the Joplin tornado a few years ago, we're on standby to get some people out of there and reunite them with family members. So, yeah, it's emergency relief. We also will relocate someone that is in a hostile situation, a battered woman or spousal abuse, that type of deal. We'll get them out of a situation and get them reunited with friendlier confines. If a person, for instance, may have a car accident in Dallas and they're laid up in a hospital there and their families here in Kansas City or in Omaha and can't afford to get down to see them, we will do a flight where we can get them down to spend some time with that. So medical is the majority of the flights, but we do quite a few of the humanitarian flights as well.
And if I'm not mistaken, even the compassion flights where, and you just alluded to it, where maybe someone's been transported as long-term at a medical facility and now a father or some family member wants to go visit them, they can also use Angel Flight. Isn't that not correct?
That's correct. That's correct. The only thing we really don't fly for are funerals because it's sort of after the fact, and you know, it just makes it very difficult. But we do, if someone needs to go and say goodbye to somebody, if they're having severe medical issues, we will fly them to say goodbye if they can't afford the transportation costs to get that to that destination.
So, wow. Great all the way around. And I, again, and maybe I should save this for a summary, But, you know, we do so many, as pilots, we do so many $100 hamburgers.
Right.
And you say, okay, how can I spend my day today? If you, we love flying so much, which we do, why not add real meaning to that?
Yeah.
Flying and help somebody out. And oh, by the way, you can't accept money, but it is a tax deduction as well for the pilot.
Yes, it is. And, we leave that up, to the pilot and the tax consultant as far as how they want to handle that. But at the end of the year, you will have a report as to your flights and all the, information that you need to, present that and work on that with your tax consultant. You know, it is truly pilots that like to fly and what they are doing. You know, I've talked to many pilots and they, you know, just tell me, hey, I'd be flying anyway. You know, I'd be going for on a Sunday afternoon or take some time off during the week and, you know, take a flight. And this way, you know, I have the ability to enjoy what I'm doing. And one pilot told me it's just a selfish hobby because I'm flying anyway. I love flying and I have the opportunity to transport a person in need, to a destination that they need to get treatment or for humanitarian cause. And, it just works out extremely well.
Oh, that's outstanding. You know, there's, Mark and I's our last week's show, we talked about, you know, reasons, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people go out and fly and people are looking for more reasons. And, you know, so how do we, you know, and well, Angel Flight, I think, is a great, great way to get people out there and give them the reason to fly. But how do we go out and spread the word, you know, and get people to volunteer their time?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been in this position for a little over 3.5 years, and it has been an eye-opening position simply due to the fact that, excuse the pun, these organizations are an under-the-radar charity. Other than the aviation world, there's a lot of people out there that have never heard of Angel Flight Central that can use our service, and that is really a shame. We are one of the lower top-of-mind awareness charities, I think, in the country. All charitable aviation is, and we really need to get the heightened awareness of our organization so we can help more people. There's so many more people in need that could use our service if they knew we existed. So outreach and development and all that comes into play as, you know, we look to grow Angel Flight Central.
Outstanding. That's a, you know, so that'd be, it sounds like the word definitely needs to be helped and spread. And so not just to pilots to help sign up, but also to, you know, is it, what I'm here, I guess I hear you say is, you know, patients as well.
Yeah, exactly. And if we have volunteers in the area, you know, sometimes we do have some, husbands and or wives of our pilots, volunteering for the organization. And they will go to hospitals with pamphlets, talk to case managers, social workers, opportunities to talk to church groups, doctor's offices, speaking to civic groups, the Rotaries, Kiwanis's in your particular region, and talk about the service and the mission of Angel Flight Central and get that awareness out there. And it's just one-on-one, and someone tells someone, and that word of mouth goes, and, you know, people... You know, let's face it, each, you, me, and everyone else listening today are really only one phone call away from being a person in need or knowing someone.
True, yeah.
And the ability to know that an organization is there that can help you in that time of need is really essential. And that's why it's so important for us to heighten the awareness of these charitable aviation organizations to the point that it's a top-of-mind awareness. Well, boom, I know exactly who to call. I know exactly the service you need, and that would help a lot of people throughout this country.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds very important. And you know, I'm sitting here just getting absolutely inspired to help spread the word on this. So my mind is running a million miles a minute.
And
well, any help we could get would be greatly appreciated. Let me tell you.
All right, you got it.
And to that point, as you look at the needs to get the word out to pilots versus patients versus, you know, any other resources that are required to make this all happen, where are the greatest needs and where are some areas that seem to be more demand than supply or more supply than demand?
Well, you know, it's interesting, and it's a tough call because you just don't know from year to year where the need is. I guess, you know, we constantly look to recruit pilots and have them available in all regions to help with the needs. The rural areas, Western Kansas, we certainly need more pilots, you know, Southern Missouri, You know, we have a great population in Minnesota. So I think, you know, those are the areas where we're constantly looking to try to recruit more pilots. You know, the more pilots, the merrier, because I really feel that if some pilot can't take the flight, someone else is there to transport that individual. We really feel that, you know, here in Kansas City, because we're located here, we're still not where we should be as far as top of mind, but we're ahead of the curve because we're located here. We do some fundraising events here, and the same thing in, you know, Missouri. But some of the other states, we really need to get into hospitals and get into social workers' offices and talk to them about our organization and let them know that we are here for your clients' help, and we can help them get to life-saving medical treatment if they need it.
Oh, outstanding. So on a, let's say, you know, I've never done an angel flight before. On my very, when I do my first one, what should I expect when, you know, I meet the patient first, or, does a patient meet at the airport, or do I pick them up, or how does that all work?
Basically, our flight coordinator will get in touch with the patient, you know, go through the screening process, and then they'll hook them up with an available pilot, and then the pilot and the patient will talk. They'll pick up, pick an airport that is convenient for both and a time, and you would meet there. Of course, you sign the liability release, and you would take off and just go from there. One of the things, it's interesting because we were founded back in August of 1995 by an Overland Park, Kansas gentleman by the name of Jim Stevens. And, his story was so touching. He was at church, he's a pilot, and, there was a family there who was going through some, financial and health issues. They had a little boy who had a severe heart ailment. And, he was going to die if he didn't get treatment. Unfortunately, they didn't have the insurance to cover him. A hospital in Michigan and a doctor up there agreed to do the surgery for free if only they could get the boy up there. And this was a parishioner at Jim's church. So Jim said, you know what? I'll fly him. So they met at the airport in Overland Park, and Jim saw the mother and the boy walking toward the plane. The boy had a bluish color because of lack of oxygen and the issues he was going through.
Oh, man.
Very lethargic. And as soon as he saw Jim, he came to and snapped through and said, I'm ready for my first flight, Captain. And Jim got him on the plane, and they took off heading toward Michigan. And when he looked in the back, you know, the poor boy had his head on his mother's shoulder, bluish in color, have an oxygen mask on, and they landed. And what happened next was absolutely incredible. Again, they got off the plane, the boy snapped through and said, I'm ready for my wings now. Well, Jim didn't have any wings, and he said, I'll tell you right now, that was the last flight I ever flew that I didn't have wings to give the boy. The mother was so appreciative. She didn't know what to do. She just gave Jim a super tight bear hug, tears just streaming down her eyes, and Jim was hooked. And he said, you know what? He said, we got to do more of these. He came back, got some friends that were pilots, and said, you know, let's plan on doing at least two of the missions a month. Well, that first year, instead of 24 missions, they did 77.
Wow.
And last year, Angel Flight Central coordinated 2,757 flights.
Wow. Holy smokes.
That's a lot of flights.
It is.
A lot of flights, yep. But that's how the organization came into being, courtesy of Jim Stevens, from Overland Park, Kansas.
Wow. That's over, that's almost 10 flights
eight,
a day.
18 years. Coming up on 18 years.
All right. Well, congratulations on that. Yeah. I mean, that's to get that big. I mean, that's moving a lot of people. And that's just the central. That's just the central division.
Yeah,
right?
That's just the central organization. Correct.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So how did the
Jim actually is going to be our main speaker at our main fundraising event coming up in November, and he is absolutely a superb speaker. And if you ever get the opportunity to hear him speak, he is tremendous.
Oh, wow. When is that? Can listeners contribute?
Yeah, it's going to be, it's an event called Wine Flight, believe it or not. And it's going to be November 22nd at Starlight Theater here in Kansas City, Missouri.
All right.
And is there a website if people want to contribute to that that they can go to?
Yeah, you can buy tickets or, you know, you could go online and give a donation. We don't have the total information packet up yet, probably within the next month because it's still about 7 months out. But probably by, I would say, mid-July, there'll be something on angelflightcentral.org that you can get information on it.
Terrific. One of the things that came in my mind as you were talking about that first flight by Jim is for pilots to know that the passengers by the current rules are that they have to be ambulatory, that they can't be needing special assistance from the pilot, that they'll be able to get up on the wing and get into the airplane and be self-sufficient. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. You know, they really, if I, you want to run down the top 10 qualifying criteria, you know, they have to have a financial need. They have to be able to fly in a non-pressurized small aircraft. And there's a video that we have on our website that shows what to expect. They must be ambulatory. If they have any, you know, sort of medication, rather, you know, they have to be able to administer that by themselves. They can't have a communicable disease. If there's oxygen, it has to be provided in a Department of Transportation approved canister. They have to have their own transportation to and from the airport. Children under 18 must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. Ideally, we need about 5 working days to coordinate a flight. We'll do our best with 3, but sometimes it's very difficult. And the luggage is limited to 50 pounds total. That's the bad news. The good news is the luggage does fly free.
Oh, it must be Southwest or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and I think the other thing that pilots should know, and this I've learned myself, that if there's any question in the pilot's mind is the ability to complete it safely, even if it's just a little bit lower IFR than they'd like, Angel Flight has zero, and I mean zero issues with you canceling for that kind of reason, that no one should feel pressured to take the flight, even though you know you're helping someone that has this tremendous need. They'll figure it out.
Yeah, you know, safety by far is the most important virtue that we preach here at Angel Flight Central. If you're not feeling well that day, if there's any doubt about the weather, or even a slight chance you may have a mechanical issue with your plane, cancel the flight. Because you know you can always cancel a flight, you can't cancel a mistake.
Right.
And, you know, we want the pilot to be safe, we want the passenger to be safe, and that is something, you know, a culture of safety is something that permeates this organization and will continue to permeate the organization from now until whatever. I mean, it's just something that we really pound home in our pilot orientation calls, in our newsletters and things like that. That is crucial. No chances need to be taken, and you shouldn't feel guilty if you have to cancel a flight.
Right. And, you know, the other thing that is so cool about the experience is the camaraderie with the pilots. For instance, I was one of 3 legs on the last one I did. And to meet a new pilot that was flying down in a Dakota from Minnesota to pick up in Cedar Rapids, which is where our exchange point was, I mean, we were sharing the exact same experience for the same reasons. And, you know, I met new people that way, too, just in addition to meeting someone that was dealing with, in this case, it was a terminal cancer. And, you know, her outlook on life was uplifting in all of itself. So it's a very positive experience, even though you're thinking about the negativity of what these people are dealing with.
I've had pilots tell me that they've actually walked away from a situation like yours with a woman, you know, fighting a bout with cancer that was, you know, terminal, feeling better about themselves because they realize, you know, I may have a hangnail and, you know, what this individual's going through is totally something that I should be thankful for, that I have such small issues. And it's a rewarding and uplifting experience, not only to get the person there, but as they look at their own lives, it's something that they feel very grateful for, that, you know, they have the blessings to be able to go out and do that and help those people and not be in their shoes. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, we're only a phone call away from being that person in need, and makes it well, top of mind and awareness that, you know, this can happen to anybody.
Yeah. Right. You know, there's, I really like that. You know, the more I hear Mark talk about this and the stories behind, you know, the success stories of, you know, great flights and the camaraderie and, you know, being uplifted by, you know, and inspired by the patient that's being transported. You know, there's a real, I could see this being very popular with pilots, you know, and, you know, but from the fact of, that, you have to fly professionally. You have to act professionally. So in a way, you're kind of like a little, you know, you're a little corporate pilot or an airline pilot, you know, and I think there's a lot of nice values and, you know, professionalism instilled in this. So I'd imagine that, you know, a lot of the pilots are like Mark and, that, you know, where they take full ownership of, you know, the goal of the flight and the goal of, you know, the patients and everything like that and make that, really factor that into their decision making. So I don't know. I think there's something in there that, you know, I'm trying to, like, you know, hash out and flush out. And it sounds just like a great thing.
You know, one of the things that we talk about here internally in the offices at Angel Flight Central are the three R's. And that's to be respected, reliable, and responsive as an organization. And we try to get that culture across to all our volunteers and to be professional in everything we do and represent the organization in a positive light. You know, one of the other advantages of this organization and all charitable aviation organizations is something that happened to me 9 months into this job. You know, I came on board and I was talking about, you know, getting people to medical treatment facilities and for humanitarian purposes. But there's a secondary benefit of the organization. I got an email about 9 months into this position from a mother who lives in a rural area, and her son has brain cancer, and she had to go. The best chance for her son's survival was to get to Duke University in North Carolina, and she went online, and she checked the flight fees, airfare, and I think it was like $1,100 or $1,200 round trip per person, and she was making minimum wage. Her husband was unemployed. She has 3 or 4 other children. And she was worried about how I'm going to keep a roof over my head, food on their clothes, or food on their table, and the clothes on their back, and still get this youngster the medical treatment he needed to try to maintain life. Someone told her about Angel Flight Central. We arranged the flights. So we got them to the treatment centers, and they had to go numerous times, as you know, a lot of cases, you have to go back and forth for treatment. So the secondary benefit of these organizations is that people who are already in need are able to sort of maintain some sort of quality of life that they would not normally be able to maintain if they had to pay for airline tickets to get people to where they need to go.
Yeah, so they're not really, they can still provide for families and not have to worry about
the incremental hit that this would normally entail.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you look at a person that even just has to fly, you know, once a month on an airline and you're already hurting financially and you're, you know, forking out $500 or, depending on where you live, $750 or per person, and you take a caregiver with you over the course of a year, that really adds up. And when you're depleted from your resources, man, oh man, there's tough decisions. Do I go or do I don't go? And I don't think anybody should be in that position where they have to make a choice between getting the health care that their family members need or worrying about food on their table. So this way, we're able to help them accomplish both.
Yeah. Now, is there also other roles besides, you know, we talked about pilot, we've talked about passenger, but even people driving from airport to hotel or airport to the medical facility, is there a ground crew volunteer opportunity as well?
You know, we have a ground volunteer opportunity. The actual ground transportation, because we have such a small staff, we only have 4 full-time people here, and we cover, you know, 10 states. The coordination of that takes a lot of time, but we do have opportunity for ground volunteers, and we call them ambassadors. We have a director of outreach and development. His name is Brendan Snegas, and he works with ground volunteers. And these ambassadors are the people that we talked about that would maybe learn about the organization, by talking to Brendan, having brochures and information sent to them, and they would go to hospitals and make sure that, you know, there's a heightened awareness of the organization. Some of them do fundraising events for the organization, and they speak to Kiwanis clubs and things like that. So there are ground volunteer opportunities in the form of being an Angel Flight Central ambassador.
I actually did that once. Brendan and I worked on a PowerPoint, and I forget what organization. It was a small organization, not a hospital, but someone had heard about me doing this, and they asked me to come speak to him. So I took his materials and presented to them, you know, just again to get the word out. And that, you know, Al, that's a fun thing to do, you know, as
yeah.
we think about even our flying club activities.
Right.
You know, let's start doing some outreach here locally just to make the awareness of the patients to know that this even exists.
Right. Absolutely. You know,
Brendan does a great job.
Yes, he does. Well, you mentioned only four, which I saw Al's jaw hit the ground. He looked at me, only four people? Yeah, it's obviously the funds go to where it needs to go, which is, the people getting people that need the help around, but you guys, all four of you do a great job.
Well, we appreciate it. Everybody is very committed, and I have to commend the staff because coming in here, you know, 3.5 years ago, I was not really, aviation savvy, so they guided me along. Very, very nicely. They've done a great job, and there's a lot of passion and caring within this organization. And I have found that to be true with all the Angel Flight organizations throughout the country. Angel Flight West, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, Southeast, South Central, they all have a passion, and all they care about is making sure that we can deliver that passenger to their destination in the safest possible way so they can get that much-needed treatment.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really, I'm thinking, trying to think of creative ways, you know, to do this and, you know, getting flying clubs involved. I know there's a big flying club push out, you know, and this could appeal a lot very, really quickly to, you know, to flying clubs, you know, for people that are always looking for reasons to fly. You know, there's a big population base. It's, you know, it's, there's an element of giving back. I don't know. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I'm sure there is, but I think that's only half the puzzle, as Don has indicated. The number of people that need the service that don't know the service exists, there's a gap between those two numbers. And so
right.
these ground ambassadors, I think, is also something that pilots can help because one drives the other. And then you just can't assume that they're going to find out about it. So
right.
I think you got to start. Actually, you could start with either side, but you need both sides of the coin taken care of.
Right.
Definitely. Yeah, you need a balance. You know, we want to have as many passengers to satisfy the population of pilots so that, you know, they got the flights that they're looking for. And, you know, that balance of pilots and passengers is such a key in each of the region. And I think the more opportunities we have right now to get the word out to both sectors, we'd be in great shape moving forward as the organization continues to grow. And someday, you know, I'd love to get close to that 3,000 flown mark and go beyond.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking here, too, as Al just a few minutes ago mentioned how a pilot might feel. I guess you were saying, Al, that it would take a pilot to a higher level because if you're thinking yourselves as a professional pilot all
right,
of a sudden
yeah.
and all that. To that end, too, there's another special kind of benefit on the side is – when you, at least the flights I've done, you take on a new call sign, Angel Flight.
Oh,
matter
cool.
of fact, you replace your N number with an NGF before the last three numbers or letters of your tail number. So you don't even exist as the other. And I found the air traffic controllers, they don't treat everything as emergency, nor should they.
Right.
But they will go out of their way for you. You know, like I remember one I did with an infant, and we wanted to limit the descents and climbs, you know, so
right.
Hey, we'd like a 200 foot per minute descent, and they help you plan, and they give you, you know, almost a little bit better service than you would if you weren't doing an Angel Flight.
Wow, that's cool. You know, that's really neat to see see that rally around, you know, and the call, using the call sign is cool
yeah.
too, you know.
Angel Flight 4 Romeo Whiskey.
Yeah. Oh, that's really neat.
Almost makes it worth it, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Well, and the other thing, FBOs, many FBOs give you fuel discounts, or the bigger ones like a Signature will waive their their fees when you're doing angel flights. So I think it's a community of general aviation beyond just the pilots, and it's beyond the passengers that all contribute to make this a success, and that's also a cool thing to see.
Right.
And general aviation really makes this organization go, and I can't thank guys like you, Mark, and everybody else involved for the abilities that you transport to our organization to help us help those in need. It's just tremendous, and what you guys do, you truly are the heroes, and we would not be here without you, and we thank you so much, all the pilots listening here tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. So, we mentioned that there's others in Angel Flight's been kind of the Kleenex, I'm going to use that term, of the industry because everything's called Angel Flight. Are there differences between the other charity, if you will, charity flight organizations, or are they all very, very similar in your mind?
I would say we're all very similar. Some may have a little bit, different requirements as far as the pilots are concerned, but not much. I think everybody, gets along extremely well. And, as far as the passengers, everybody goes through the, one thing we really want to do is make sure that the passengers do have a need. I mean, we don't want, a volunteer pilot, ready to give their time, treasure, and their talent waiting at an airport or an FBO. And, all of a sudden this limo pulls up and out jumps a couple of passengers. But anyway, everybody screens the same thing, and we want to make sure that, the people that are getting the service are truly people in need. We do fly one exception without need. If a person is truly having issues with their immune system and they cannot fly commercially at all because of the germs on a commercial aircraft, we will transport that person. That's usually the only exception, but we usually dig deep into and make sure that there's some sort of a need.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, my first one, which was in our Piper Archer in our flying club, was a woman that had to wear, it looked like a gas mask, from the old movies, but she couldn't, the smell of gasoline, the germs from other passengers, forced her to go here. She drove from Maine to Cleveland because that leg had to cancel. So I could pick her up in an Archer in Cleveland and bring her to Chicago. And I spent 8.8 hours on a 120 knot airplane that day. They were appreciative. I mean, it was my first time. This is going back a few years. And, but it was like you described. She just couldn't fly in commercially because of the germs and also the odors associated with it.
Yeah.
We had a recent, experience here. As a matter of fact, it just happened this past week. There was a gentleman from this region that has been in the Mayo Clinic undergoing cancer treatment for almost a month now, and away from his job, couldn't afford a commercial flight, and he had a daughter graduating high school, I believe, last Wednesday, and then another daughter graduating college this past Sunday, and they were really down. We actually flew the gentleman in on Wednesday so he could attend the daughter's graduation. Thursday morning, we flew him back to the Mayo Clinic for more treatment. And then we flew him back on Friday. We had a pilot pick him up on Friday so he could attend the daughter's graduation from college, and then had to go back to the Mayo Clinic on Monday for continuous treatment. And it was nice that, it's a medical flight, also a humanitarian flight combined, that he was able to see the graduations and still get back for the treatment that he needed. This gentleman is actually going to be at the Mayo Clinic through the end of the month. He'll be home for about a week, and then he has another long stint. So, those are just some of the really positive things that, come out of this position, that you see that, the person still gets the treatment. They're able to attend once-in-a-lifetime event, and it goes under that humanitarian, compassion, and medical, I guess, all rolled into one there.
Right, right. I could see myself becoming, like, really good friends with patients and things like that. Do you ever see any, connections outside of the flights? Somebody's introduced to somebody, and, they're reconnected after the fact, all the treatment, and hopefully they've gotten healthy and become good friends.
Definitely. Christmas cards, phone calls, constant communication if they want it. We've had some pilots that have flown the same passenger for numerous flights. And, you know, come Christmas, it's almost like they're part of the family.
Wow.
You know, they're getting Christmas cards, and they'll get a call on Christmas or their birthday, and the pilots will do the same thing. You know, give the passenger a call, send them a Christmas card or a birthday card, just call up and see how you're doing. There is some bonding that has taken place over the years between a passenger and a pilot.
Yeah, and, you know, to that point, Al, that every night at midnight I get a roster of all the flights available, and you bid, not bid, but you basically raise your hand and say,
sure,
I'm willing to take it. And what you see is the same people doing the same trips on a regular basis, whether it's every other week or whatever. You know, you see a Cedar Rapids to Waukegan. And I have, like, for instance, Don, I have a family in Cedar Rapids, so I could see me, as long as it mixed with work, always volunteering to say, I'll take that Cedar Rapids trip because I get to see my granddaughter, and, oh, by the way, then get to pick somebody up or take them back. And so I can see where someone would get into a very regular schedule if their work schedule or their life schedule allowed it.
Yeah. Wow.
And, you know, each pilot has, you know, their different causes. You know, some pilots may have been affected by, you know, their wife or husband having cancer, and they fly cancer flights. Some have a propensity to, you know, take care of children. They may have lost a child or, you know, have a child themselves that have had difficulties. And, you know, they'll take kids' flights and make sure that, you know, the youngster and the guardian are needed, are transported to where they need to go. So, I mean, you know, there are some pilots that, you know, really have a cause that they look for, and that's fine too.
Yeah, wow, I really, really like the mission of this. And, you know, Mark could attest that I keep smiling here just listening to this. And like I said, my mind is rolling a million miles a minute. And, you know, I just can't thank you enough for having such a great organization that really touches people. And, you know, from the aspect on this show, Mark and I are always in pursuit of finding amazing people doing amazing things in aviation and really finding ways that people use aviation to touch people and help people. So, you know, that's outstanding. So thank you very much.
Well, we thank the pilots because, like I said earlier in this conversation, without you, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. And it's not only appreciated by the organization and our staff and our passengers and patients, but by our board and everything for everything that you do to, you know, help us accomplish our goals. And we would not be able to do it without every pilot out there listening right now.
Yeah, and, you know, Al just talked about amazing people doing amazing things in aviation. Usually we're talking to pilots. As you indicated, you're not a pilot, but you're obviously very important to this role as well as the other three people that you work with in Kansas City there. So it just proves that we're all kind of connected, whether you have the pilot's license or not.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a family and it's a team that comes together for a common cause. And, you know, that's what we're all about here.
Yeah. So I encourage all of our listeners at angelflightcentral.org for more information, or if, since we have listeners all over the country, to look for the Angel Flight that's local to them in the West, Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, Southeast, and South Central. All have separate Angel Flight organizations, and if anyone has any questions, they can contact us through our show. So, Don,
They all do a great job, every one of them. You'll be pleased if you join any one of those organizations.
Perfect. Well, thank you again for taking part of your day to be with us tonight. It's been very informative, and I look forward to seeing you. Matter of fact, I'm going to be in Kansas City potentially on Friday, and I'll stop by and say hi.
Hey, that sounds great. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person, and thank you for the time and continued success to both of you guys.
Thanks. The same to you, Don.
Hey, great. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Man, I'm totally inspired by...
I knew you would be.
Would you?
Yeah, because I forget about it, and then it's not like on the top of mind, but when I fly the mission, I'm like on cloud nine for a little while. And some of it may be realization that I don't do enough of the good stuff, the charity stuff.
Right.
And it kind of scratches that itch. It helps me to know that I've given back. I know that the flying was well worth the investment.
Right.
And it's just, you know, I get to see my kids if I'm near the Cedar Rapids area. I mean, you can just make it work for you, and regardless of what are your other motivations, you're always delivering to somebody else. So
right, definitely.
I think it's cool.
But no, I one thing that I really like from a like the pilot standpoint, and you know how this could really, the pilot community could really benefit from this, is that it's a legal way of being the professional pilot that you've always wanted to be. You know, you've got a private pilot's license,
right?
You don't need a commercial to do this. It's, you're just volunteering. It's tax deductible, and you know you're doing like serious, you know, transport legs.
And I remember the last flight I did. And by the way, I want to clarify, because I thought I, when Don was talking about the requirements, he said, well, you need a single engine 25 hours, multi-engine 50 hours. If you're not doing multi-engine missions, you don't even need a multi-engine rating. And so that, I just want to be clear, because I don't have that.
Right.
But that, you know, I forget. I went off on that tangent.
Wah, wah, wah. Where's the sound leprechaun? There he is.
Yeah.
He just like stalled in midair.
I did. I was like, oh, I got to get this out, because I wanted to clarify that, because I don't want people to be detracted or you know, thinking that I can't go for this because I don't have a multi-engine rating.
Right.
And everyone can do it. So I forgot where I was going with it, so just move on.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah, but bottom line is it's a good thing for pilots. It's a good thing for aviation. It's a great thing for the passengers that need it.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know,
so I want to see you do one, young man.
Yeah, well, let's do it. I want to promote this at our flying club. I think there's a real opportunity here. Get people flying. You know, we're always creatively looking for new ways of getting the, you know,
and you can take a co-pilot.
Yeah, right.
Right. I mean, you're not getting paid. It's not commercial. They're under special rules that allow you to deduct the entire flight. And when you get back, they ask you to fill out a report that they will submit to you, they being Angel Flight, at the end of the year, that says, okay, I drove this many miles to the airport.
Right.
I bought this food. I spent this much on gas, oil, and rental. So, it's tax deductible.
But nice.
They ask you that you work with your tax professional. They don't want to be in the business of advising you on what you can and cannot deduct.
Right, right, definitely.
But, but that's the minor part. It's just nice to help.
I love it. Well, I can't wait to work more with this, because it's like I said, you know, I've seen you do it. Your mentality, the way you go about conducting, you know, the flying business.
I know what I was going to say. You reminded me.
Squirrel.
Yeah. No, because you talked about kind of almost living the professional pilot dream that's in everyone's head that doesn't fly for a living, and I was questioning whether we should go. The winds were going to be 60 knots. There was some weather.
Yeah.
And I was a little, should I? And I called a couple people. You were one of them. And you said, this is when you're a professional pilot. You remain safe, but you look for reasons to say yes.
Right.
Right? And the reasons to say yes are, I see that it's possible. I have a plan B, and I know my out.
Right.
Right, and so, and you may have had other things. That's kind of what registered with me. And so I go, yeah, it looks like it's possible. It may not be, but it may not be doable, not possible. But if it wasn't, I had an out, you know, whichever way it was,
right.
You know, 180 or a 90 degree turn, something. And then, you know, I had my plan Bs, if you will, diversions, car, land and finish it in a rental car, those kinds of things all came in my mind. So, and then the last thing was to involve the patient / passenger.
Right.
And
That's nice. You know, I think this flight, one of the questions that I asked you was, hey, is this something that you would do if you did not have a passenger on board? And your answer was yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, now you're wondering if it's the patient, you know, so get them involved and really, you know, if... I think as soon as you met the patient in the morning, you know, you said in the interview that, yeah, they were all ready to go, and they were really excited. So then you're like,
yeah,
okay,
I picked them up at 6 a.m. figuring we were driving. And then I said, you know, because we're leaving so much early, we're actually ahead of the weather.
Yeah.
And she said, well, then let's fly.
Yeah, perfect.
She did tell me, she said, I'm not feeling very well, but she had it like, I got yogurt, I've got this will settle my stomach. Her husband was with us, and he was just, whatever.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Well, hey, I hope you have a fantastic holiday weekend.
You as well. We'll both be in the state of Missouri, or is the state of Missouri?
Or I like to call it Missouri.
Missouri, yeah. Show me state. You can talk like they do.
Yeah, so I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we. Matter of fact, I'm going to invite my brother, I think, over on Saturday to drive over from St. Louis to meet us in Kansas City. But maybe, you should fly over. You should see Kansas City.
Well, hey, if you want to pick some two people up on the way back,
there you go. Oh, are you driving? How are you getting there?
Yeah, we're driving.
What would you do with your car?
I don't know.
Okay, that's good. I just, if you had a plan there, I was interested to hear what that would have been.
Yeah, we could tow it.
There you go.
Yeah.
Put wings on it.
Sure. I'll put on the Union Pacific.
Well, I feel really bad that we're going to cut this show short because of this holiday weekend thing. It makes me kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? It is sad. But you know what? I think a lot of people are going to be out flying, having a lot of fun, and as they deserve it. It's been a great year so far, and... You know, you deserve a trip to Kansas City.
And you to St. Louis. So let's take advantage. And we thank our listening audience for being with us on this holiday weekend. Of course, many of them listen as after the fact during the week. So if you have a two-hour commute and you expect us to get you there, we're only going to get you three-quarters of the way there. But we did want to get the show together. And obviously with Don Semple joining us from Angel Flight Central at angelflightcentral.org. A very special show indeed.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, have a great time. Everybody be safe, fly well, and fly fast.
Tailwinds.
Blue skies. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
You're listening to Simple Flight Aviation Radio with Al Waterloo and Mark Eppner on www.simpleflight.net.
Simple Flight Radio, ready for takeoff.
What do you think about flying? Is it a sport? A business? Is it easy or difficult? Is it boring or exciting? Alan Waterloo and Mark Eppner think it may be any of those things, but they like to make it simple. This is Simple Flight Radio, where Mark and Al talk about the many aspects of aviation and the amazing people doing amazing things to make this world a better place.